Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, friends. This is Julie reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, May 24th. County leaders talk about new jail. They also discuss how to pay for a project that could cost more than $200 million. By Stuart Doreen. Where does the Midland County Commissioner's Court stand on its law enforcement complex, rebuild, and how to pay for it? The answer is not known yet, but the Commissioner's Court had a discussion about it on Monday's meeting. Leaders seem to be unanimous on the need to complete construction plans for a new jail. When it comes before the court for a vote, it is likely to cost $6 million to $7 million, according to the discussion Monday. The cost could increase if that includes the participation of a construction manager. It wasn't determined as to how leaders plan to pay for it. Commissioner Scott Ramsey wanted to have the discussion so leaders could start deliberation on where commissioners stood on jail expansion. The building of a new Justice of the Peace Constable Center and the Culver Center Detention Center. The conversation also included a decision about how to pay for the projects, which included mention of a bond, certificates of obligation, debt that doesn't require voter approval, and an approval of a county assistance district, which would increase the sales tax rate in the county to be comparable to the sales tax inside the city. More than 65% of county voters opposed county assistance district in November, but both Precinct 4 Commissioner Randy Prude and County Judge Cherry Johnson said voters could be convinced to support an assistant district. Prude mentioned proper explanation and a formation of a political action committee would go a long way in winning an election in the future. Johnson previously mentioned that the tax could raise as much as $80 million a year. This tax district will pay for everything we need for the next 100 years, Prude said. He added that passage of a county assistance tax is a win-win for the taxpayer that would mean the county would never need another property tax rate increase. He added that its passage would be the most important thing the court has ever done. Officials heard about $127 million will needed for a new jail. Other potential expenditures include $16 million to $20 million for a new Justice of the Peace Constable Building with offices and courtrooms, $20 million for a remodel the Sheriff's Office Building, and $36 million for the first phase of remodeled Culver's Building at the current site. Officials said the total project cost of an upgraded youth detention facility at the current site, Hogan Park, could climb to $115 million. But a main purpose of discussion was to see what could be done now, and it seemed that commissioners agreed getting construction plans for a new jail put together, a potential 16-month process, was a priority. Obituaries. Brenda A. Spears. Brenda A. Spears, 68, passed peacefully at her residence May 18th. Brenda is survived by one sister, Cheryl Reagan. Three children, Milton Alexander Corey, Debbie Alexander, and Rachel Marvin Alexander, 16 grandchildren and 8 grandchildren, as well as host and nieces and nephews. Brenda's service will be held at La Mesa Road Church of Christ, 3409 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79705, with the viewing beginning at 10 a.m. and service starting at 11 a.m. Her burial will be at American Heritage Cemetery, 4100 FM 1788, Midland, Texas, immediately after her service. Cecil Sonny Smith. Cecil Sonny Edwin Smith, age 95 of Midland, Texas, passed away at his home on May 18th, surrounded by his family. Sonny was born July 30th, 1925, to Les and Viola Smith in Comanche, Oklahoma. He married Melba Paul Smith on June 24, 1944. They enjoyed square dancing, fishing, and traveling to South Texas. Visitation will be Monday, May 23rd, at Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. Graveside services will be at Fairlawn Cemetery, arrangements by Comanche Funeral Home in Comanche, Oklahoma. The family would like to thank Hospice and Meals on Wheels for their love and care for their husband and father. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be directed to your favorite charity. Ruby Lucas. With profound sadness, we announce the passing of Ruby Lee Lucas, beloved mother, grandmother, and friend to all the lives she touched, Tuesday, May 17th. She left us peacefully with the love of her life and their three children by her side. She was 87 years of age, born in Reynolds County on February 25, 1935. She graduated from Winters High School and married J.T. Lucas on June 6, 1953. She lived a full life as a loving mother, grandmother, and dedicated employee. She began her career as a farmer's wife and eventually began to work outside the home. In all her various experiences, from seamstress at a children's home to working at an oil and gas company, she brought joy and laughter to all those who came in contact with her. Additionally, she shared her talents by volunteering at the Stanton Auxiliary Thrift Store, often bringing home more treasures than she sold, and that's a fact. She is survived by her husband of 69 years, T.J. Lucas, her three children and their spouses. A celebration of life was held at First Baptist Church of Stanton Saturday, May 21st at 10 a.m. Interment will follow at Evergreen Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbert Funeral Home of Stanton. Online condolences can be made at www.mpwelch.com. Death notices. Clay Brian Henson Jr. Clay Brian Henson Jr. of Midland died May 18th in Midland, Texas. Graveside burial will be held May 25th at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Johnny Hodges. Johnny Hodges, 67 of Midland, passed away May 21st. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 25th at Nolly, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, May 26th at Nolly, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nolly Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Willie Goudeau. Willie Goudeau, 100, of Midland, passed away May 22nd. The family will receive guests at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 26th. At Nolly Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, May 27th at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. Arrangements are under the direction of Nolly Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Crime Stoppers searches for suspect in Main Street Market Theft by Mercedes Cordero. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Midland Crime Stoppers are seeking the public's help in solving a theft. MCSO deputies were dispatched on April 11th to Main Street location at 10400 West Industrial Interstate 20 East in Midland County in reference to a theft. On April 7th at about 10:57 p.m., the two suspects entered the store. Once inside, the male suspect distracted the two cashiers while the female suspect stole several cartons of cigarettes. The suspects returned to the store on April 8th with a third person and again stole several cartons of cigarettes, totaling more than $8,000. If a person has any information on the suspect and it leads to an arrest, they will be eligible for a $1,000 cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS. Or download our Crime Stoppers app, P3 Tips, and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used and you will remain anonymous. MPD. Midlander dies after rollover on West Industrial. A 38-year-old Midlander died early Saturday after a one-vehicle crash on Industrial Avenue. The Midland Police Department reported that Adam Alvarez was driving a 2008 Ford Mustang westbound at a high rate of speed in the 1700 block of West Industrial. Alvarez lost control of the vehicle, collided with a gas meter and a fire hydrant. The vehicle then rolled and eventually collided with the building, according to MPD. Officers responded to the crash about 5:04 a.m. Alvarez was not wearing a seatbelt and was the vehicle's only occupant and was pronounced deceased at the scene from his injuries, MPD reported. The investigation is ongoing. Anderson Prude face-off in runoff. Both Republicans, Democrats also have runoffs for multiple statewide positions. By Doreen, Stuart Doreen. Today is runoff day. Locally, there's one primary runoff, and that is between Diane Anderson and Randy Prude for County Commissioner Precinct 4. The two Republicans have met before. On March 1st, Anderson collected more than 40% of the vote in a three-person race between her, Prude, and Charles Hall. Prude earned a spot in the runoff, placing second with 34% of the vote. Republicans also have runoffs for statewide seats, railroad commissioner, land commissioner, and attorney general. Democrats don't have any local races, but will have the opportunity to vote for runoff candidates for lieutenant governor, attorney general, comptroller, and land commissioner. Early voting is set for 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 8 locations across Midland County. Hall backs Anderson. While Prude is the current representative for Precinct 4, Anderson's comes into the runoff having collected 310 votes more than Prude in the primary and having the support of Charles Hall, who finished a respectable third. The Midland County Elections Office reported Hall collected 1,184 votes in the primary. Like Anderson, he felt voters in the Precinct 4 needed new representation. Both Anderson and Prude haven't changed their message much from the primary campaign to the runoff election. Anderson boasts about the doors that she's knocked on across the precinct. That includes parts of the Central and Northwest Midland. She wants to see what opinions are out there when the current horseshoe operations contract runs out. She believes the tax rate is a product of skyrocketing valuations as much as anything county leaders have done. Anderson also said greater accountability in commissioners with the precinct four is needed. Prude pointed to the county's building projects like the courthouse, library annex, the fantastic horseshoe as accomplishments over the past two-plus decades. He says he's led the charge to lower the tax rate and is ready to complete instant tasks like roads, water, jail facilities with little or no property tax burden. Runoffs matter. Runoffs don't always rubber stamp the person who won the most votes in a primary or first election, not in Midland County. Recent history shows at least four candidates finished second in a primary or first election have come back to win the seat in the runoff, including Terry Johnson, county judge, in 2018. John Ticherry, the third, MISD District 5, in 2018. Michael Booker, MISD District District 1 in 2020, and Katie Joyner, MISD District 4 in 2020. The Midland County Elections Office reported on its website that 3,333 residents in Midland County cast a ballot in person or through the mail during the week's early voting. More than 90% of those voters participated in the Republican Party runoff. MCS Superintendent Lee resigns, by Stuart Doreen. Midland Christian Superintendent Jared Lee has resigned his position at the school. The announcement from the school went to family members on Monday and effectively ends 40 years of leadership by either Jared or his father, Eddie Lee. Jared has been a part of Midland Christian School for as long as we can remember. According to the statement from Jason Stockdale, President, School Board of Trustees, he stayed as a student here and came back to serve as a teacher, academic dean, and finally as superintendent. Together with his father, Lees have been at the helm of MCS for almost 40 years, guiding the school through many ups and downs and making us better at each step along the way. Lee was one of the five school officials that Midland Police arrested in February for failure to report with intent to conceal neglect or abuse. Last week, a grand jury in Midland decided not to indict the five. After the decision, Midland Christian school leaders stated the five would remain on paid administrative leave through the end of the 2021-2022 school year. The last day of school at Midland Christian was Thursday. Graduation ceremonies took place Friday. This latest storm has tested the entire Midland Christian family, and we are not surprised Jared has chosen a path he believes to be best for MCS and for his family moving forward, the statement said. Despite all that has transpired, he leaves with record enrollment, solid financial footing, and a track record of success in academics, fine arts, and athletics. We continue to stand behind Jared, acknowledging that his leadership will be welcomed in a new environment and hope that he will be given every chance from others to utilize the talents God has blessed him with. He will be missed, and our prayers are with Jared and his family as they begin a new chapter in their lives. Lee is the second of the five to resign a position, joining Greg McLennan, the former head football coach and athletic director. In its statement, Midland Christian announced it would appoint a search committee to begin the process of finding and hiring a new superintendent. In the letter, trustees stated, "Change is hard, but change also brings new opportunities for growth, or even greater achievements, and for faithfulness to the mission of Midland Christian School. Please join me in praying for the Lees as they begin a new chapter and for every member of the MCS family as together we work to lead, build, and equip young men and women for Christian service in this community and beyond," Stockwell wrote. Commissioners undecided on selling land to Midland Police Department. Judge: selling the property will help support local law enforcement, by Stuart Doreen. Midland County is not ready to sell the downtown asset, at least not yet. Commissioner tabled an item that would sold a piece of county-owned property, parking lot E, to the city of Midland. The property is located just to the west of the Midland Police Department, along Colorado Street and north of Michigan Avenue. Midland Police Department Chief Seth Herman said the police department currently leases the lot for spillover vehicles and now wants to purchase the land. He said the appraised value of the lot is $220,000. Having the extra property downtown also will help MPD if there is a need for expansion of extra offices, Herman said. County Commissioner Scott Ramsey said the lot is valuable county asset and needed inventory for the county, especially as Midland expands. County Judge Terry Johnson said it is not the best interest of the taxpayers to hold on to valuable property, and the selling of the property would help support local law enforcement. Restaurant owner Chip Height, whose restaurant includes Mr. Chip's Kitchen, which is set to open in former Basin Burger location, asked county leaders for consideration of renting 10 to 15 spaces for his customers. Mr. Chip's Kitchen is located just north of the property county parking lot. McDaniels said during a time of public commitment that he opposes such a sale because it's much cheaper to own a piece of property than have to buy property later on. County Attorney Russell Mall reminded the court that since the sale is to another government entity, that the county does not have to go out for a bid. Commissioners Louis Sanchez, Robin Donnelly, and Randy Prude were not ready to decide on the sale of the parking lot on Monday, and each supported taking more time. XTO Energy encourages girls to consider engineering careers. XTO Energy, a subsidiary of ExxonMobil, employs volunteer welcome Midland School-age girls from Young Women's Leadership Academy for an Introduce a Girls to Engineering Day, a program designed to inspire female students to consider careers in engineering. "We are thrilled to continue to be a part of this annual event," said XTO Energy Production Manager Enrique Garcia. "It's more important than ever for our students to build on their problem-solving skills, as we will continue to have a need for engineers and scientists, and it is crucial that more female voices share their perspective and experiences in these fields." XTO Energy employees lead a series of problem-solving activities through hands-on interaction experiments, including a water flood field experiment. Students learned how creativity and ingenuity can be used in the classroom and how knowledge of science, technology, engineering, and math students can lead to rewarding engineering careers. More than 16,000 students across the U.S. have participated in ExxonMobil's Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day since the program's inception in 2003. According to the Society of Women Engineers, women account for 13% of the engineering practice, which are typically high-paying and high-demand jobs. ExxonMobil employs almost 24,000 scientists and engineers around the world, working collaboratively with other companies and academic institutions to bring energy to market development, new energy technologies, improve energy efficiency, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. MPD, Midlander dies after rollover on West Industrial. A 38-year-old Midlander died early Saturday after a one-vehicle crash on Industrial Avenue. The Midland Police Department reported that Adam Alvarez was driving a 2008 Ford Mustang westbound at a high rate of speed in the 1700 block of West Industrial. Alvarez lost control of the vehicle, collided with a gas meter and a fire hydrant. The vehicle then rolled and eventually collided with the building, according to MPD. Officers responded to the crash about 5:04 a.m. Alvarez was not wearing a seatbelt and was the vehicle's only occupant and was pronounced deceased at the scene from his injuries, MPD reported. The investigation is ongoing. Crime Stoppers searches for suspect in Main Street market theft by Mercedes Cordero. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Midland Crime Stoppers are seeking the public's help in solving a theft. MCSO deputies were dispatched on April 11th to Main Street location at 10400 West Industrial Interstate 20 East in Midland County in reference to a theft. On April 7th at about 10:57 p.m., the two suspects entered the store. Once inside, the male suspect distracted the two cashiers while the female suspect stole several cartons of cigarettes. The suspects returned to the store on April 8th with a third person and again stole several cartons of cigarettes, totaling more than $8,000. If a person has any information on the suspect and it leads to an arrest, they will be eligible for a $1,000 cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or download our Crime Stoppers app, P3-TIPS, and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used and you will remain anonymous. Obituaries. Brenda A. Spears. Brenda A. Spears, 68, passed peacefully at her residence May 18th. Brenda is survived by one sister, Cheryl Reagan. Three children, Milton Alexander Corey, Debbie Alexander, and Rachel Marvin Alexander, 16 grandchildren and 8 grandchildren, as well as hosts and nieces and nephews. Brenda's service will be held at La Mesa Road Church of Christ, 3409 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79705, with the viewing beginning at 10 a.m. and service starting at 11 a.m. Her burial will be at American Heritage Cemetery, 4100 FM 1788, Midland, Texas, immediately after her service. Cecil Sonny Smith. Cecil Sonny Edwin Smith, age 95 of Midland, Texas, passed away at his home on May 18th, surrounded by his family. Sonny was born July 30th, 1925, to Les and Viola Smith in Comanche, Oklahoma. He married Melba Paul Smith on June 24, 1944. They enjoyed square dancing, fishing, and traveling to South Texas. Visitation will be Monday, May 23rd at Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. Graveside services will be at Fairlawn Cemetery. Arrangements by Comanche Funeral Home in Comanche, Oklahoma. The family would like to thank Hospice and Meals on Wheels for their love and care for their husband and father. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be directed to your favorite charity. Ruby Lucas. With profound sadness, we announce the passing of Ruby Lee Lucas, beloved mother, grandmother, and friend to all the lives she touched, Tuesday, May 17th. She left us peacefully with the love of her life and their three children by her side. She was 87 years of age, born in Reynolds County on February 25, 1935. She graduated from Winters High School and married J.T. Lucas on June 6, 1953. She lived a full life as a loving mother, grandmother, and dedicated employee. She began her career as a farmer's wife and eventually began to work outside the home. In all her various experiences, from seamstress at a children's home to working at an oil and gas company, she brought joy and laughter to all those who came in contact with her. Additionally, she shared her talents by volunteering at the Stanton Auxiliary Thrift Store, often bringing home more treasures than she sold, and that's a fact. She is survived by her husband of 69 years, T.J. Lucas, her three children and their spouses. A celebration of life was held at First Baptist Church of Stanton Saturday, May 21st at 10 a.m. Interment will follow at Evergreen Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbert Funeral Home of Stanton. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Clay Brian Henson Jr. Clay Brian Henson Jr. of Midland died May 18th in Midland, Texas. Graveside burial will be held May 25th at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Johnny Hodges. Johnny Hodges, 67 of Midland, passed away May 21st. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 25th at Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, May 26th at Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Willie Goudeau. Willie Goudeau, 100, of Midland, passed away May 22nd. The family will receive guests at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 26th. At Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, May 27th at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. XTO Energy encourages girls to consider engineering careers. XTO Energy, a subsidiary of ExxonMobil, employs volunteer welcome Midland School-age girls from Young Women's Leadership Academy for an Introduce a Girls to Engineering Day, a program designed to inspire female students to consider careers in engineering. We are thrilled to continue to be a part of this annual event, said XTO Energy Production Manager Enrique Garcia. It's more important than ever for our students to build on their problem-solving skills, as we will continue to have a need for engineers and scientists, and it is crucial that more female voices share their perspective and experiences in these fields. XTO Energy employees lead a series of problem-solving activities through hands-on interaction experiments, including a water flood field experiments. Students learned how creativity and ingenuity can be used in the classroom and how knowledge of science, technology, engineering, and math students can lead to rewarding engineering careers. More than 16,000 students across the U.S. have participated in ExxonMobil's Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day since the program's inception in 2003. According to the Society of Women Engineers, women account for 13% of the engineering practice, which are typically high-paying and high-demand jobs. ExxonMobil employs almost 24,000 scientists and engineers around the world, working collaboratively with other companies and academic institutions to bring energy to market development, new energy technologies, improve energy efficiency, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. IDEA Public Schools honor Tom Craddock. State Representative Tom Craddock has received first Texas Lawmaker of the Year award from Idea Advocacy Action Team. In 2019, Craddock passed legislation which allowed the option for a charter school to begin operations in an otherwise underperforming campus. That legislation helped make Idea Travis in Midland possible. Our Idea Advocacy Action Team is honored to present our first ever Texas Lawmaker of the Year Award to Speaker Tom Craddock. Speaker Craddock has been a champion for IDEA and public education options for families in his community and embodies an IDEA core values, said Ruben De Los Santos, IDEA family organizer. Particularly, we want to thank Speaker Craddock for his role in supporting our partnership with Midland MISD, which allowed for IDEA Travis to open its doors in 2020. Craddock said, "I'm honored to receive this award. IDEA has been a tremendous partnership in offering other educational opportunities for families in Midland. The success of the IDEA Travis campus is evidence of how we can all work together to educate our children. I look forward to a continued partnership in growing these successful educational settings in West Texas in the future." Mira Silva, a parent of a kindergartner student at IDEA Travis, said, "I chose to send my daughter to IDEA Travis because for the academic rigor, my daughter is a kindergartner and can read fluently at a first grade level. It has been an incredible effort by teachers, parents, and the staff of our school. The IDEA Advocacy Action Team is made of IDEA parents, teachers, and families who advocate for high quality public education in their communities." Dear Abby, husband's drinking puts family at risk and marriage in doubt. Dear Abby, my husband of 20 years has had DUIs in the past. He's always been a binge drinker when socializing. He has been going out once a week after work for 3 hours, during which he drinks and then drives home. He tells me he has a couple beers, but his tab and his face tell me different stories. We have 3 teenagers who see his behavior, and it sets a bad example. My other worry is that he may take the kids somewhere after he gets home from his weekly outings. I've instructed them not to let Tad take them anywhere on Wednesday, his regular bar day. I've also asked him not to drive them anywhere on Wednesday. I make sure I work from home on that day, but all of this doesn't seem like enough. I want him to stop. I've thought about divorce for this and other reasons, but I worry his drinking would get worse. I've also considered doing an interview with family. I'm at the end of my rope and ready to do something, but what is the next step? Reach my limit in Illinois. Dear Reach, step one should be to attend some A1 Anon meeting. This is an organization founded to help the friends and families of someone with an alcohol problem, which it appears your husband has. Those meetings will give you a perspective. Your next step will be to figure out what divorce may mean for you and your children financially. Once you have this information, tell your husband, while he is sober and you are calm, that you have reached your limit, that unless he is willing to quit drinking, you're going to leave him. See what how he reacts, and if nothing changes, follow through. Dear Abby, 7 years ago, my husband and I were going through a rough patch. Unfortunately, he shared all the details with his parents. We're still together going on 24 years. I was so upset when I found out that he told them our business because I love them and I knew it would be the same. My father-in-law acts like he loves me, but my mother-in-law doesn't talk to me and I haven't received a birthday card since. On Christmas, we received a check with only my husband's name on it. Only my daughter and my husband are acknowledged on their birthdays. I love my in-laws, and with my own parents gone, I miss being loved. My husband thinks it's no big deal that they ignore my birthday. Is it really a big deal? DeReading my birthday now. Dear DeReading, I disagree with your husband. That his parents continue to punish you because he tattled about your marital problems is a big deal. And now the tattler should tell us folks it's time to bury the hatchet and welcome you back into the fold. If he's not man enough to do that, then some sessions for you with a licensed marriage counselor might help you to accept the status quo. You said you wanted to be loved, and by that I assume you mean unconditionally. In the case of your in-laws, that may not be possible, and you may need to learn to accept it. Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, May 24th. County leaders talk about new jail. They also discuss how to pay for a project that could cost more than $200 million. By Stuart Doreen. Where does the Midland County Commissioner's Court stand on its law enforcement complex, rebuild, and how to pay for it? The answer is not known yet, but the Commissioner's Court had a discussion about it on Monday's meeting. Leaders seem to be unanimous on the need to complete construction plans for a new jail. When it comes before the court for a vote, it is likely to cost $6 million to $7 million, according to the discussion Monday. The cost could increase if that includes the participation of a construction manager. It wasn't determined as to how leaders plan to pay for it. Commissioner Scott Ramsey wanted to have the discussion so leaders could start deliberation on where commissioners stood on jail expansion. The building of a new Justice of the Peace Constable Center and the Culver Center Detention Center. The conversation also included a decision about how to pay for the projects, which included mention of a bond, certificates of obligation, debt that doesn't require voter approval, and approval of a county assistance district, which would increase the sales tax rate in the county to be comparable to the sales tax inside the city. More than 65% of county voters opposed county assistant district in November, but both Precinct 4 Commissioner Randy Prude and County Judge Cherry Johnson said voters could be convinced to support an assistant district. Prude mentioned proper explanation and a formation of a political action committee would go a long way in winning an election in the future. Johnson previously mentioned that the tax could raise as much as $80 million a year. This tax district will pay for everything we need for the next 100 years, Prude said. He added that passage of a county assistance tax is a win-win for the taxpayer that would mean the county would never need another property tax rate increase. He added that its passage would be the most important thing the court has ever done. Officials heard about $127 million will needed for a new jail. Other potential expenditures include $16 million to $20 million for a new Justice of the Peace Constable Building with offices and courtrooms, $20 million for a remodel the Sheriff's Office Building, and $36 million for the first phase of remodeled Culver's Building at the current site. Officials said the total project cost of an upgraded youth detention facility at the current site, Hogan Park, could climb to $115 million. But a main purpose of discussion was to see what could be done now, and it seemed that commissioners agreed getting construction plans for a new jail put together, a potential 16-month process, was a priority. Commissioners undecided on selling land to Midland Police Department. Judge, selling the property will help support local law enforcement. By Stuart Doreen. Midland County is not ready to sell the downtown asset. At least not yet. Commissioner tabled an item that would sold a piece of county-owned property, parking lot E, to the City of Midland. The property is located just to the west of the Midland Police Department, along Colorado Street and north of Michigan Avenue. Midland Police Department Chief Seth Herman said the police department currently leases the lot for spillover vehicles and now wants to purchase the land. He said the appraised value of the lot is $220,000. Having the extra property downtown also will help MPD if there is a need for expansion of extra offices, Herman said. County Commissioner Scott Ramsey said the lot is a valuable county asset and needed inventory for the county, especially as Midland expands. County Judge Terry Johnson said it is not the best interest of the taxpayers to hold on to valuable property, and the selling of the property would help support local law enforcement. Restaurant owner Chip Height, whose restaurant includes Mr. Chip's Kitchen, which is set to open in former Basin Burger location, asked county leaders for consideration of renting 10 to 15 spaces for his customers. Mr. Chip's Kitchen is located just north of the property county parking lot. McDaniels said during a time of public commitment that he opposes such a sale because it's much cheaper to own a piece of property than have to buy property later on. County Attorney Russell Maul reminded the court that since the sale is to another government entity, that the county does not have to go out for a bid. Commissioners Louis Sanchez, Robin Donnelly, and Randy Prude were not ready to decide on the sale of the parking lot on Monday, and each supported taking more time. MCS Superintendent Lee resigns, by Stuart Doreen. Midland Christian Superintendent Jared Lee has resigned his position at the school. The announcement from the school went to family members on Monday and effectively ends 40 years of leadership by either Jared or his father, Eddie Lee. Jared has been a part of Midland Christian School for as long as we can remember. According to the statement from Jason Stockdale, President, School Board of Trustees, he stated as a student here and came back to serve as a teacher, academic dean, and finally a superintendent. Together with his father, Lee's have been at the helm of MCS for almost 40 years, guiding the school through many ups and downs and making us better at each step along the way. Lee was one of the five school officials that Midland Police arrested in February for failure to report with intent to conceal neglect or abuse. Last week, a grand jury in Midland decided not to indict the five. After the decision, Midland Christian school leaders stated the five would remain on paid administrative leave through the end of the 2021-2022 school year. The last day of school at Midland Christian was Thursday. Graduation ceremonies took place Friday. This latest storm has tested the entire Midland Christian family, and we are not surprised Jared has chosen a path he believes to be best for MCS and for his family moving forward, the statement said. Despite all that has transpired, he leaves with record enrollment, solid financial footing, and a track record of success in academics, fine arts, and athletics. We continue to stand behind Jared, acknowledging that his leadership will be welcomed in a new environment and hope that he will be given every chance from others to utilize the talents God has blessed him with. He will be missed, and our prayers are with Jared and his family as they begin a new chapter in their lives. Lee is the second of the five to resign a position, joining Greg McLennan, the former head football coach and athletic director. In its statement, Midland Christian announced it would appoint a search committee to begin the process of finding and hiring a new superintendent. In the letter, trustees stated, "Change is hard, but change also brings new opportunities for growth, or even greater achievements, and for faithfulness to the mission of Midland Christian School. Please join me in praying for the Lees as they begin a new chapter and for every member of the MCS family as together we work to lead, build, and equip young men and women for Christian service in this community and beyond," Stockwell wrote. Dear Abby, husband's drinking puts family at risk and marriage in doubt. Dear Abby, my husband of 20 years has had DUIs in the past. He has always been a binge drinker when socializing. He has been going out once a week after work for 3 hours, during which he drinks and then drives home. He tells me he has a couple beers, but his tab and his face tell me different stories. We have 3 teenagers who see his behavior, and it sets a bad example. My other worry is that he may take the kids somewhere after he gets home from his weekly outings. I've instructed them not to let Tad take them anywhere on Wednesday, his regular bar day. I've also asked him not to drive them anywhere on Wednesday. I make sure I work from home on that day, but all of this doesn't seem like enough. I want him to stop. I've thought about divorce for this and other reasons, but I worry his drinking would get worse. I've also considered doing an interview with family. I'm at the end of my rope and ready to do something, but what is the next step? Reach my limit in Illinois. Dear Reach, step one should be to attend some A1 Anon meeting. This is an organization founded to help the friends and families of someone with an alcohol problem, which it appears your husband has. Those meetings will give you a perspective. Your next step will be to figure out what divorce may mean for you and your children financially. Once you have this information, tell your husband, while he is sober and you are calm, that you have reached your limit, that unless he is willing to quit drinking, you're going to leave him. See what how he reacts, and if nothing changes, follow through. Dear Abby, 7 years ago, my husband and I were going through a rough patch. Unfortunately, he shared all the details with his parents. We're still together, going on 24 years. I was so upset when I found out that he told them our business because I love them and I knew it would be the same. My father-in-law acts like he loves me, but my mother-in-law doesn't talk to me, and I haven't received a birthday card since. On Christmas, we received a check with only my husband's name on it. Only my daughter and my husband are acknowledged on their birthdays. I love my in-laws, and with my own parents gone, I miss being loved. My husband thinks it's no big deal that they ignore my birthday. Is it really a big deal? Dereading my birthday now. Dear Dereading, I disagree with your husband. That his parents continue to punish you because he tattled about your marital problems is a big deal. And now the tattler should tell his folks it's time to bury the hatchet and welcome you back into the fold. If he's not man enough to do that, then some sessions for you with a licensed marriage counselor might help you to accept the status quo. You said you wanted to be loved, and by that I assume you mean unconditionally. In the case of your in-laws, that may not be possible, and you may need to learn to accept it. IDEA Public Schools honor Tom Craddock. State Representative Tom Craddock has received First Texas Lawmaker of the Year Award from IDEA Advocacy Action Team. In 2019, Craddock passed legislation which allowed the option for a charter school to begin operations in an otherwise underperforming campus. That legislation helped make IDEA Travis in Midland possible. Our IDEA Advocacy Action Team is honored to present our first ever Texas Lawmaker of the Year Award to Speaker Tom Craddock. Speaker Craddock has been a champion for IDEA and public education options for families in his community and embodies an IDEA core values, said Ruben De Los Santos, IDEA family organizer. Particularly, we want to thank Speaker Craddock for his role in supporting our partnership with Midland MISD, which allowed for IDEA Travis to open its doors in 2020. Craddock said, "I'm honored to receive this award. IDEA has been a tremendous partnership in offering other educational opportunities for families in Midland. The success of the IDEA Travis campus is evidence of how we can all work together to educate our children. I look forward to a continued partnership in growing these successful educational settings in West Texas in the future." Mira Silva, a parent of a kindergartner student at IDEA Travis, said, "I chose to send my daughter to IDEA Travis because for the academic rigor, my daughter is a kindergartner and can read fluently at a first grade level. It has been an incredible effort by teachers, parents, and the staff of our school. The IDEA Advocacy Action Team is made of IDEA parents, teachers, and families who advocate for high-quality public education in their communities." Anderson Prude, face-off and runoff. Both Republicans, Democrats also have runoffs for multiple statewide positions. By Stuart Doreen. Today is runoff day. Locally, there's one primary runoff, and that is between Diane Anderson and Randy Prude for County Commissioner Precinct 4. The two Republicans have met before. On March 1st, Anderson collected more than 40% of the vote in a three-person race between her, Prude, and Charles Hall. Prude earned his spot in the runoff, placing second with 34% of the vote. Republicans also have runoffs for statewide seats, railroad commissioner, land commissioner, and attorney general. Democrats don't have any local races, but will have the opportunity to vote for runoff candidates for lieutenant governor, attorney general, comptroller, and land commissioner. Early voting is set for 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 8 locations across Midland County. Hall backs Anderson. While Prude is the current representative for Precinct 4, Andersons comes into the runoff having collected 310 votes more than Prude in the primary and having the support of Charles Hall, who finished a respectable third. The Midland County Elections Office reported Hall collected 1,184 votes in the primary. Like Anderson, he felt voters in the Precinct 4 needed new representation. Both Anderson and Prude haven't changed their message much from the primary campaign to the runoff election. Anderson boasts about the doors that she's knocked on across the precinct. That includes parts of the Central and Northwest Midland. She wants to see what opinions are out there when the current Horseshoe Operations contract runs out. She believes the tax rate is a product of skyrocketing valuations as much as anything county leaders have done. Anderson also said greater accountability in commissioners with the precinct four is needed. Prude pointed to the county's building projects like the courthouse, library annex, and the fantastic horseshoe as accomplishments over the past two-plus decades. He says he's led the charge to lower the tax rate and is ready to complete instant tasks like roads, water, jail facilities with little or no property tax burden. Runoffs matter. Runoffs don't always rubber stamp the person who won the most votes in a primary or first election, not in Midland County. Recent history shows at least four candidates finished second in a primary or first election have come back to win the seat in the runoff, including Terry Johnson, county judge, in 2018. John Ticherry, the third, MISD District 5 in 2018, Michael Booker, MISD District in District 1 in 2020, and Katie Joyner, MISD District 4 in 2020. The Midland County Elections Office reported on its website that 3,333 residents in Midland County cast a ballot in person or through the mail during the week's early voting. More than 90% of those voters participated in the Republican Party runoff.
PBS's Judy Woodruff plans to step down as NewsHour anchor, the Associated Press. Washington. Judy Woodruff says she'll be stepping down as anchor of the PBS's nightly NewsHour program at the end of the year. Woodruff, 75, said she will report longer pieces for NewsHour and do other projects and specials for public television at least through the 2024 presidential election. She was part of the NewsHour rotating anchor team for 2009 until 2013, when she and Gwen Ifill were named co-anchors of the program. Since Ifill's death in 2016, Woodruff has been the show's sole anchor. "I love working at PBS NewsHour and can't imagine it not being part of my life," Woodruff said in a memo to fellow staff members. She was chief Washington correspondent at NewsHour from 1983 to 1993, and has also worked at CNN, NBC News. Plans for her replacement will be announced in the fall, a PBS spokesman said Saturday. Stone, concrete, brick, add value to landscape, by Jeff Floyd, certified horticulturist and arborist. When installed properly, stone, concrete, and brick are elements that can add functional value to any landscape. They can be used to indicate roots through a garden, redirect water, or anchor landscape planting with their native surroundings. As is true when deciding which plants to install, landscape features should be carefully designed into the landscape drawing before making any purchases. Regardless of the material selected, these permanent, low-maintenance elements can be incorporated into formal or informal settings. Pathways made of stone, concrete, or brick can direct traffic through the garden while keeping feet clean and dry. Large stones set above smaller gravel can cause visitors to slow their movement through the garden and direct their attention to a particular focal point or area of interest. Winding paths with large stones, insects at the same level as a bed of smaller ones, will invite visitors to spend up their space to discover what they might be hidden around the corner. Hardscape material can be excellent problem solver in areas that receive too little light or grow plants. A brick setting area under a tree will eliminate the struggle to get grass growing, while providing a cooling spot for guests to reflect at the end of a long day. Freshly poured concrete can be stained and stamped with patterns that resemble stones or brick. This is a cost-effective method of creating a luxurious and stylish look. Concrete may also be poured into individual molds that resemble stone. This allows greater freedom for design to develop pathways of what appear to be separate stepping stones. While designers may adhere to broad concepts when planning a landscape, there is an endless range of artistic license that can be used to meet individual needs. Through careful planning, homeowners are generally capable of developing a design they can be proud of that is both functional and aesthetic. By properly considering plant size, shape, texture, color, and incorporation of hardship materials, homeowners can create beautiful landscapes.
This is the actual statement released by Midland Christian School. Editor's note: the following was sent out Monday from the Midland Christian Board of Trustees about the resignation of its superintendent, Jared Lee. With genuine sadness, the Board of Trustees at Midland Christian School has received and accepted Jared Lee's letter of resignation as superintendent of Midland Christian, effective immediately. You can read his letter to the MCS family below and or attached to this message. Jason has been a part of Midland Christian School for as long as we can remember. He started as a student here and came back to serve as a teacher, academic dean, and finally as superintendent. Together with his father, the Lees have been at the helm of Midland Christian School for almost 40 years, guiding the school through many ups and downs and making us better at each step along the way. This latest storm has tested the entire Midland Christian family, and we are not surprised Jared has chosen a path he believes to be best for MCS and for his family moving forward. Despite all that has transpired, he leaves us with record enrollment, solid financial footing, and a track record of success in academics, fine arts, and athletics. We continue to stand behind Jared, acknowledging that his leadership will be welcomed in a new environment, and hope that he will be given every chance from others to utilize the talents God has blessed him with. He will be missed, and our prayers are with Jared and his family as they begin a new chapter in their lives. The board will appoint a search committee this week to begin the process of finding and hiring a new superintendent. I know that change is hard, but change also brings new opportunities for growth, for even greater achievement, and for faithfulness to the mission of Midland Christian School. Please join me in praying for the Lees as they begin this new chapter, and for every member of the MCS family as together we work to lead, build, and equip young men and women for Christian service in this community and beyond. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, Jason Stockstill, Board President. This article is entitled "Crime Stoppers Searches for Suspects in Main Street Market Theft" by Mercedes Cordero. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Midland Crime Stoppers are seeking the public's help in solving a theft. MCSO deputies were dispatched on April 11th to Main Street Market, located at 10400 West Interstate 20 East in Midland County, in reference to a theft. On April 7th, at about 10:57 p.m., two suspects entered the store. Once inside, the male suspect distracted the two cashiers while the female suspect stole several cartons of cigarettes. The suspects returned to the store on April 8th with a third person and again stole several cartons of cigarettes, totaling more than $8,000. If a person has any information on the suspects and it leads to an arrest, they will be eligible for a $1,000 cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or download our Crime Stoppers app, P3 Tips, and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used, and you will remain anonymous.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.